Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You worked all week.
Work.
You didn't have time to look at your fantasy lineups.
Son of a...
But don't be afraid.
That's why we give you Weekend Fantasy Update.
Woo-hoo!
And welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update. Hour number three, going back to fantasy baseball. I'm Joe Galina, joined by George Kurtz. JP doing a great job producing our show, making his triumphant return this week. Glad to have him back. And George, yesterday, May 18th, was Reggie Jackson's birthday. Did you know that?
I did. I think I saw it somewhere on Twitter, Facebook, who knows. I know there was pictures of Reggie bars, which I had a few of those, Joe, back in the day.
Oh, they were great.
They were really tasty.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, as a gag, my wife bought one off of the internet. It's kind of like in plastic. I mean, I would never eat it or whatnot. It's still in.
Yeah, that's only 40 years old. Yeah. I'm gonna pass.
But I thought it was interesting. I mean, Reggie, you and I both grew up as Yankee fans, and last week you were talking about Greg Nettles and, you know, the whole, he went from Cy Young to Sayonara, which was a great quote from him, yeah. But I guess Reggie was kind of like my favorite Yankee growing up, and he was a jackass, though, but personally, I think, you know. And I've met him at a card show, and he wasn't really the nicest guy. But, you know, when you think of Reggie, right, I mean, you think of, what, clutch hits, you also think of him as a big strikeout guy, right? But when you know, it was just out of curiosity, I just checked out his numbers. You know, for his career, he had a 22.7 K rate. And the league average today is a 22.5. So, like, in today's baseball, when you have guys like Joey Gallo and, you know, other guys with their, you know, 25 to 30% strikeout rate, you know, all of a sudden Reggie doesn't look like such a strikeout machine anymore.
Well, the only difference is back then strikeouts were taboo. Mm-hmm. You didn't strike out. You couldn't strike out. Nowadays, no one cares. You know, nowadays, mm-hmm. people, I don't agree with
it's
this.
It's almost
at all,
like the Earl Weaver concept coming back, 3-run homer.
Yeah, well,
I'm really dating myself, but, you know, we're talking like, you know, early to mid 70s. That's what he played for, right? The 3-run homer.
Yeah, so that's what Earl was known for. But the thing is, nowadays, yeah, you know, with starting pitchers not really expected to go anything more than six innings, and then you get all these relievers throwing the ball 100 miles an hour, which is not an exaggeration. It's what these relievers do. They throw the ball high 90s that it seems like most managers realize, or most hitters realize, you're not going to make consistent contact. You know, you're not going to have the batters coming up in an inning all make good contact. So you swing hard. You adjusted your swing to get that launch angle going, to get that ball up in the air, try to hit home runs. So this is like Earl Weaver heaven nowadays. Because that's what a lot of these teams are trying to do. They're playing for a 3-run homer or a 2-run homer, whatever they can do. Get that ball in the air, get it out of the ballpark. I think that's what a lot of teams are doing here. Reggie, I think he was what I would consider Reggie the first king of the strikeout. I think that's when it really started came to be, because Reggie did not get cheated. He swung hard. And when he hit the ball, it went a mile. When he didn't, he struck out. You know, Reggie's the kind of player who, it's interesting. He's a Hall of Famer. But he's the kind of player, he struck out a lot and was a liability defensively. Had a good arm, but not a good right fielder. You know, so and obviously had some issues with Billy Martin and some of his teammates.
Oh, that was great,
The Yankees was the first team back then known for 25-man roster, 25 cabs. It seems like none of them really liked each other, or very few of them liked each other. So I know Reggie got into fights with Thurman Munson. That was well known, that he and Thurman Munson were getting along. I know him and Nettles got into a fight once. So different back then. Like the 90s Cowboys, if there was Twitter and all this other stuff going around in the 70s, or, you know, the social media, boy, the Yankees would have been a fun team to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our younger listeners, if they're interested, they could probably catch on YouTube the footage of Billy Martin taking Reggie Jackson out of the game in the middle of the game at Fenway Park. I think it was a Saturday afternoon game of the week.
It was
maybe,
game of the
right?
week. So, I was watching that game.
Yeah, I think I was as well. And when Reggie was just like incredulous, like because Paul Blair just ran out and said, "Look, you know, I'm taking over for you." And Reggie's like, he pointed to himself, like me. And then,
I believe Billy thought he was jaking it a little bit at that fly ball, so he took him out. I mean, listen, Billy Martin hated Reggie Jackson from day one. He just hated him. I think it wasn't his guy without his consent. Right, it wasn't one of his people. And it's
probably a racist too. Let's face it.
Well, but it's back a lot of more racist back then. That's not a surprise at all. Mm-hmm. I think the Yankees were known for that as well. I believe Kenny Holzman caught some grief there as well. I think Kenny Holzman was Jewish and he was on the Yankees, and he caught same thing, some grief. So different ages back then.
Yeah,
you know, I said it was a different sort of thing. They won. But, man, hell, the Yankees might have won three or four World Series in a row, if not for the fact that Cliff Johnson and Rich Gossage got into a fight in 79, which broke Gossage's thumb, and the Yankees ended up missing the playoffs that year, or maybe they would have
remember
back
that.
Then. Yeah, so there was a lot of stuff going on with the Yankees back then. Their big rivals were the Red Sox, just like now, and also the KC Royals were big with the Yankees back then. And I bring that up because the Yankees are playing the Royals now. Now there's a royal wedding. You know, maybe this is a good omen.
Interesting. Yeah, you're right. 3 years in a row, at least, 76, 77, and 78, the Yankees played the Royals for the American League Championship and beat them. Right?
Yeah. And I said it was a big George Brett, Frank White, Larry Gourey. Yankees could never beat him. Dennis Leonard, Paul Splitoff.
Yeah. Yankee killer. Yeah. Larry Gourey.
Larry Gurley, Freddie Pathak, the little pint-sized shorts. I'll never forget him crying after the Yankees felt, and I say that sincerely. I mean, that was always, to see him crying. There's no crying in baseball, crying at Tom Hanks. Well, Freddie Pathak cried after the Yankees beat them. I'm going to say the 78 ALCS, but it could have been 77. I'll never forget seeing him crying in the dugout. Just sad.
Yeah, different era of baseball, but good memories. So, other than the pitchers not, I mean, is the fact that the pitchers aren't going deep into the game, is that like the biggest trend that you're detecting at this stage of the game? And obviously,
well,
the launch angles and
they're not even being trained to go deep into the game. All right, what does all the metrics say? We don't want them going to the third time of the order. Yeah, which means that's the fifth, sixth inning when generally that's going to happen. So they're being trained to go six innings, most of these pitchers, unless you're God.
Right.
You know, unless you're a top of the line guy. And then you bring on the bullpen, bring on all the guys who throw hard. That's absolutely the biggest change. I mean, I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon. The fact that all these guys swing hard, I said it earlier, I don't agree with it. To me, an out is not an out. I mean, you put the ball in play, there's always a chance for an error. You never know what's going to happen. You can move runners over with outs. So I dislike when all these guys just swing as hard as they can. They don't choke up on the bat, and they don't care. One strike, two strikes, no strikes. They're still trying to swing. I like the guys who put the ball in play with two strikes, especially if there's people on base. You know, there's two outs, ninth inning, you're down by a run, fine. Try and hit the ball out. That's why all these shifts is another big thing. Did you see the shift the other day?
Yeah, I was
going to
mention
Gallo?
That. Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious. And yet he still hits into it.
Right.
That's why I don't care about all these players complaining about the shift.
Right.
I mean, come on, shorten up and go the other way. It's easy hits. They're giving you a hit. Like I said, two outs, ninth inning, you're down by a run. That's a different situation. I understand you got to go for the home run. But any other situation, if you're giving me a hit as a batter, I'm taking it every time. And guess what? You do that two or three times, they're not going to shift anymore.
Right. So throughout the hour, we'll be talking, you know, some waiver wire moves, some trends in baseball. Austin Meadows made his debut last night. Pirates outfielder Starling Marte, one of the guys that went onto the disabled list. I'll tell you, you know, I'm very impressed with what the Pirates have done so far this year. You know, they're coming into today's action just a half a game out, but is Austin Meadows on your radar as someone that you would pick up off the waiver wire. I mean, personally, I mean, I look at his stats and, you know, he's kind of been a little hot and cold over his career. But he stole a base last night.
He did steal a base last night. He was a top prospect at one point. His stock has gone down a little bit. He's struggled.
It really has, yes.
It has. And now he's going to Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and you're absolutely right. Pittsburgh is probably one of the pleasant surprises this year, outperforming mm-hmm. where we expected them to be. My problem is this. He's not going to a good hitter's ballpark, not at all. Yeah, it's not a great place to play. He's not going to hit high in the lineup. He'll be hitting lower, but I wonder what's going to happen when Marte comes back. That's my biggest thing here. Are they going to try and find a way to get him in the lineup? They're going to try and keep him, or is it just a cup of coffee and you're going back down? Now, I got to think with Meadows, there's a chance here because he is, as much as he may not be a top prospect anymore, he's still a prospect. So he's not someone you're going to want to jerk around. But what happens? And you look at it, Joe, you're going to have Marte in center, Polanco in right, Dickerson in left, and Dickerson's played well. So where does Meadows go? Where does he go?
There's
no one to play first base. Josh Bell's having a fine season. So in my mind,
he's been coming on lately. Yes.
Right. So in my mind, Meadows goes down in 10 days unless there's another injury.
I'm looking at your hot and cold, five up and five down, which our listeners could check out on
RotoExperts. That's always the greatest jinx, by the way. Whoever I put on the hot list ends up being cold. Cold list ends up hitting nine home runs that night. It's every week. I love that. People should pay me to put guys on this list.
There you go. Well, one guy you allude to, based on Aaron Hicks really slumping, although he did get
three hits last night.
But Clint Frazier got called up this week, and it appeared that it was going to be just a short-term call-up, and it still could because the Yanks were playing a National League team in a National League park. But, the Yanks are going to have to probably trade for a starting pitcher at some point this season. And maybe if they get Clint Frazier some at-bats and maybe showcase him a little bit, because I have a feeling that the Yankees don't want to deal Andujar, I guess. So, I mean, Frazier might be the guy that they could dangle. What do you think in terms of Frazier as a free agent pickup this week?
Well, Frazier is definitely he's definitely a trade chip. There's no, I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind. There's no room for him on the team. There's just not. He is major league ready. He should be playing in the major leagues. I think in a perfect world right now, he should be platooning with Gardner. Left field, center field for the Yankees. But the Yankees don't want to keep him on the roster because they want to keep 18,000 relief pitchers on the roster. The Yankees were going, until this week, until they played Washington, were going with only two backups, offensive backups. Think about that. And one has to be a catcher. And Torres was the other. So they just, that's just what they believe in. And they were going with a whole bunch of relievers for the game because they didn't want to get caught shorthanded on pitch hitting situations in the National League ballpark. Got to pitch it for the pitcher. They called up Frazier. Then they kept them up because today and tomorrow they're facing left-handed pitchers. And Duffy, and I don't know who the other left-hander is offhand for KC. So they kept them up. Best guess is, let's say he starts both and goes, 4-for-8 with a home run, sure, they'll keep him back up. But if not, he's probably going back down because I think they're going to want to call up another reliever, especially at the CC when it had a short outing last night. The starters can't give them any length. So that's a problem for the Yankees. Sonny Gray, I believe, pitches tonight, and we all know he's been a five-inning pitcher, so that's just no length. They're killing the bullpen here. So I think Gray is going back down, so I'm not anxious to pick him up, no. I think his value is all in a trade. When does he get traded? Where does he get traded to? I know some people put up, Seattle needs an outfielder. True. But I don't know if Seattle has the pitching prospect you want here. And I also don't know if Frazier can play center field every day. Probably not. So he may not be the greatest fit for Seattle anyway. But Frazier does.
I think last season he was used more at the corner outfield positions.
He can play center in a pinch, but he's not an everyday center fielder. But like I said, Frazier deserves a spot on the Yankees or on a major league team. But he's going to either need an injury or a trade to be fantasy value. I think he probably goes back down this week.
Depending on what time your waiver wire ran last Sunday, Franmil Reyes, outfielder for the Padres, was somebody that you might have you know, put a bid on or maybe you were interested on. But now after you see what he's done this week, if he's batting 091, you might not be too high on him. But basically, I mean, he was on fire in the PCL. And, you know, the Pacific Coast League, known for, you know, creating offensive superstars. Is Franmil Reyes, if you missed out, you know, if your waiver wire ran earlier than, because I think he was called up real late. They announced that he was coming up late. Is he someone that you would consider putting a buck or two on? Would a buck or two do it?
Nope. I don't want him either way. Renfro should be back this weekend, maybe even today. They may act him for tonight's game, so that could take his roster spot right there. And Will Myers is back in 2 weeks, or approximately 2 weeks. So once again, he's definitely going down.
I can't wait because I have some shares of Will Myers that I need. I need him active.
I don't. I have no shares of Will Myers. I don't know why. Just I don't think I've ever had. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever had a share of Will Myers in any league. I guess that's not a player.
It just seems
for.
That you know in preseason drafts, if you waited on first baseman because they kind of went fairly early, all of a sudden you know Will Myers is sitting there for you, sitting there, and you know guy that could hit some home runs, maybe steal some bases. Also, was going to be outfield and first base eligible as well because of the Eric Hosmer signing that the Padres made. So I'm looking forward to having him back.
Well, good luck to you.
Well, thank you.
I don't care.
Freddy Peralta, Brewers starting pitcher, 13 Ks against the Rockies in Colorado. And plays starts against the Twins tonight.
That was impressive. I mean, well, you know, you're
especially in
Rockies,
Colorado.
The Rockies haven't been the same team in Colorado this year. They're not scoring runs at all. And it's just strange. I mean, is the humidor there finally taking effect too? So strange what happened there. I mean, well, it's weird. Didn't expect that. But Peralta was certainly extremely impressive. I mean, 13 Ks anywhere, especially in Colorado. Absolutely. I took notice. Tried to grab him in a league or two. I don't think I got him. Could be wrong about that. But you want to see what he does front encore now. You know, Twins have been struggling offensively. Good matchup for him. Looking forward to seeing what he does.
Yeah. Starting today, the Phillies and the Braves are top the NL East. Let's talk about them when we come back. You're listening to Weekend Fantasy Update.
Psst. Hey, you, over here. You want to win a DFS? And you want it for just $1? I got Daily Roto here. Now, why do you want it? Two of the guys behind it have won $1 million. It's not just about the writers. Not one, not two, but three subscribers have won $1 million, too. That's five millionaires. Five, count them. And it's not counting the $100,000 winners, too. They talk about it in the Slack channel. But why is it a dollar right now? Special price for the month of May. Yeah, if you don't like it, then walk away. If you love it and you're winning, keep going. Do I use it? How do you think I afford my massive tracksuit collection? Come on, look at the glitter on this. It's beautiful. You can sort your stats, add your own weights, read articles, distinguish between slates on FanDuel and DraftKings. You gotta go to dailyroto.com and enter code $1. I may just be a creepy guy in a random alley inside your head, but I know what I'm talking about. That's dailyroto.com, code $1. That's it, one. $1, 1 month, and start winning.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update. Joe Galina and George Kurtz taking you through Party Saturday. Thanks for joining us. And George, I teased as we were heading into the commercial about the Phillies and Braves in a virtual tie for first place as of this morning. Does that surprise you?
Of course it surprises me. Once again, I think we have both these teams up-and-coming teams, but they're up-and-coming now. You know, I didn't see that coming. I certainly saw that Washington would be the team to beat in this division. Philly, I think they're going to be a very interesting team as far as what they're going to do in the offseason because this is this team has lots of money.
Yeah.
Lots of money, and I have a hard time seeing one of Harper or Machado not end up in Philly. You know, I think they could use both. You know, they want to put Machado at short. You want to put Harper in the outfield. They could pay him the money, $300 million, $350, whatever it's going to cost. I think one's going there. Yeah, the pitching staff for Philly, it's young, but it's gain. It's getting there. That's what I like. I just really like. And I think Philadelphia, by the way, makes some sense as far as make a trade with Baltimore to try and get Machado this year even. Because you can trade Baltimore J.P. Crawford. Now, granted, you're trading low on him. But that could be a piece. Not the major piece, but a piece. Baltimore wants pitching. And I think that could be worked out in Philadelphia, some young pitching there. I'm kind of curious about this in Philadelphia, the team from Machado, especially the longer they stay in this race. So I'm extremely interested here. Atlanta, I mean, you got Markakis who's playing so well above his head. You know, we haven't seen this since his early Baltimore days. Acuna's coming, giving this team a jolt. Albies is your fantasy MVP, if not the league MVP right now, with what he's doing there. I think they need some third base help as well. So they could be in on Machado if they want to go for it this year, especially if they see, in my mind, if I'm trading for Machado this year, I want to make sure that I at least have a chance to sign him long term. You know, and I think the Braves would have a chance. I don't know if he'd be a number one option for them, but a chance because we brought this up. They have three players that they're paying that won't be on the salary next season. That's McCarthy, Adrian Gonzalez, and Kazmi. It totals $47.1 million, I think it is. You know, and this one, I don't care what Machado's going to get paid. It's not going to be $47.1 million. So therefore, you can plug the Machado's money in there and still save some bucks. And they have the pitching that Baltimore really wants. I mean, out of Atlanta, Atlanta's rated a top, I think, three minor league system. Out of their top 11 prospects, nine are pitchers. So they can deal from that. You know, if you want to go, you know, Kyle Wright, Luis Gajardo, Mike Soroka, you go on and on, Colby Allard. So they have some moves they can make here. Not to mention the young pitchers that are already on the roster, and Newcomb, Fulton, something like that. So I think there's a deal to be made here for the Braves and Baltimore. I think that's a team to keep an eye on. Once again, for as long as Atlanta stays in the race. And they just might, because Washington's playing down to competition. They've got some injuries of their own. It doesn't look like they're going to run away from it, and I don't think Philadelphia can. So once again, to go back to your question, yeah, I thought the team would be competitive, but not ready to truly compete this season.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You brought up a lot of great points, but Braves, they actually be interesting to see how quickly they might call up Austin Riley, their AAA prospect. He's recently earned their promotion, holding his own, hit for power, hit for average. But, I mean, do you go for the security of a Manny Machado as opposed to the, you know, the questioning whether or not Austin Riley could handle big league pitching? So it will be interesting. And I don't know. Would they include an Austin Riley in a deal to get Manny Machado?
I know Bucks and Baltimore really wants pitching, young pitching. I don't know. I don't think they can get that and Riley. Yeah, if I think of on the Braves, well, don't you call up Riley first to see what he can do?
You know,
he's the answer to your question, right? Maybe Riley solves your problems. You don't need to trade much for Machado now. But the way I keep looking at it, assuming the Braves think they can get in on the Machado sweepstakes, which is a big assumption, by the way. That's a hell of a lot of money he's making. The Braves are not a big market team. But assuming they can, not all these pitchers in your minor league system can you use, and B, are going to pan out. You know Machado's going to pan out. So in my mind, this is what you want to use all this depth for. The Yankees are in the same situation. When you have a strong minor league system, they can't all play for you. So you want to get trade three for one and get players who you know can. So that's why I think if I'm the Braves, at the very least, I have to kick the tires, see what's out there. The only problem is I don't think Machado is going anywhere until July 31st.
Right, and the rumor keeps on coming up, and you don't know what to believe, is that the Chicago Cubs are really interested in him, and that might be his first landing spot. So, by the way, just do you think that Buck Showalter survives the season?
If I'm Buck Showalter, I want out. I just want out. This team's a mess. I mean, it's just a mess. I mean, I don't see Buck as being delusional. Who thought this pitching staff was good enough this year to compete? I mean, I actually saw some people who thought Baltimore was a dark horse. Really? A dark horse to compete with the Yankees and Red Sox. Like, really? I mean, what are you people smoking? This pitching staff's bad. I mean, really? It's horrible. You know, I mean, it's just, ugh. So if I'm Showalter, man, I mean, management is a pain in the ass. You know, Angelos doesn't spend money, even though he has it, to help the team.
Well, he spends it poorly, right? Look at all the money he gave to Chris Davis with the
Chris Davis. We all knew that was a mistake. I think if I'm Showalter, I'm about done anyway. To answer your question, let's say he wants to stay, this team's going to be bad. I mean, they may finish around 90 or 100 losses here. I'm going to say yes. If he wants to stay, he'll stay.
Okay. You mentioned Nick Markakis earlier. I mean, when you look at what this guy has done so far, 343 batting average, a 415 on base percentage. I mean, what the heck happened with this guy? I mean, if you own him in a fantasy league, are you selling him high, I would think. No?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, found the fountain of youth, sold his soul. I don't know. His numbers that he's putting up are absolutely incredible. He hasn't done this in 10 years. I mean, not since his Baltimore days. He's actually holding off. Maybe Atlanta won't feel the need to make a trade for an outfielder because of what he's doing. He's batting 343. You know, he's got seven home runs already, 30 ribbies. I mean, wow. Just wow. You know, he's 34 years old, so he's not young. Like I said, he hasn't done this kind of damage. I'm looking through his career here ever. He's never batted over 300 in his career, not since 2008, 10 years. And even that was only 306, but 300 the year before. So this has come out of nowhere.
And on pace for 20-plus home runs, 100-plus runs batted in. So I was just looking to figure out why or what's happened. Line drive rate, 30%, that would be a career high. And when you hit in line drives, that's going to punch up your batting average. Home run to fly ball rate, 14.6, almost twice his career rate. A bit unsustainable.
Oh, you'll get no argument from me. I agree. These numbers have to come down, which is why, once again, he's a sell high. Anybody wants to buy in on him, I'll deal him. I won't even ask for top dollar. If you just give me another player I can use that I believe his numbers will sustain, I'll take that. This has to come down.
And Ronald Acuna cooled off a little bit, but still holding his own. And what Markakis is doing is really hurting also Preston Tucker, who he's a bit of an older kind of prospect, but former Astro, started off the season pretty well. But I was a little surprised. I guess maybe the Braves, maybe they are going all in and going with the hot hand. Were you a little surprised that they didn't give Tucker the opportunity to continue playing?
No. If you're reading my five up, five down, Tucker was on the five down as soon as we realized that it was only a matter of time until Acuna was going to come up. I think I wrote my exact words were probably somewhere along the lines of, it's no fault of his own, but Acuna's taking his job. You know, and that's just the way it is here. Like I said, Tucker would be a fine fourth outfielder, not someone who's going to help your fantasy team right now. If you read the article, he was a sell guy. Get rid of him while you could before Acuna came on and took his job. And now there's just no place for him. There's no DH. Obviously, they're in the National League, and you got Acuna, you got Inciarte, you got Markakis, who are all having good years. Tucker's just, like I said, I don't think it's too much fault of his own, but doesn't have a job.
Yeah, and Inciarte, 18 stolen bases. I'm a little concerned, I guess, that they've been moving him down the lineup to sixth? I mean, Albies has been leading off lately, no?
It's Ozzie hard Albies. To fault them. I mean, it's hard to fault them because Albies has been, like I said, in my mind, Albies is probably the fantasy MVP. Amazing. And if you want to say he's the actual MVP of the league,
13 home
runs. I can't argue with that either. So I can't argue with that. Your only argument would be, well, would you be better off moving Acuna down? You know, are you putting too much pressure on this rookie who's had a month now in the majors? Should he be down and put in Ciarte in the one or two slot and Albies the other one or two? I think that's a very good argument to be made. You know, you can also make it argue that Freddie Freeman, the best hitter on the team, should be batting number two for people who believe that, you know, your best hitter should be in the number two slot, gets more at-bats. I'm not going to argue with that either. But I'm an NCRT owner in a bunch of leagues. He's a player I keyed on because of the stolen bases. That's all I keyed on. He's a player I was able to get late. And then I would thought
that
steal
was a story about
bases.
Him in the preseason was that, you know, he had worked on his speed in the offseason. And obviously, it's, you know, a lot of times you read a lot of fluff about players, but this guy really has.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this many stolen bases coming, but I thought he'd steal 25 to 30. which is what I wanted here. Everything else, anything else was a bonus. Now, it looks like he might steal that by the All-Star break. Hell, he might steal that by by mid-June, the way he's going. Good for him. Generally, you want your speed guys up higher in the lineup. You know, batting sixth does take away somewhat from it. He's not a big power guy. So I don't love the lineup positioning. But if he's still going to run the sixth spot, it's not a killer either. I just wonder, eventually, like I said, if on the Braves, I'm probably going to have Albies and Inciarte batting 1-2, you know, 1-2-2-1, whatever you want to put it. Freeman 3, you know, you want to put Markakis 4 and then maybe Acuna 5. I'd probably go somewhere along that. I'm also not even against putting Acuna 4 and breaking up the left-handers in Freeman and Markakis. That's also something I could do. I don't want Bautista taking at-bats away from any of these guys.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. Moving over to the Phillies, is it time to possibly drop Scott Kingery, or has that time come and gone? Batting 218, started off pretty well, but obviously getting eaten alive by Major League pitching right now.
Yeah, I think that time is really come and gone. You probably already should have done that. He was a nice player to add while the going was good. And now pitchers made adjustments to him. He has not made the adjustment back yet. And this is always the big question with these kind of players. How long does it take you to make the adjustments back? And right now he hasn't made it. He's struggling. You know, I think he will make it, but it may be weeks down the line, a month. And once Crawford comes back, well, that adds another player to the mix. So there's going to be some sitting with all these guys. So bottom line is, yes, I had Kingery in a couple of leagues. I have moved on.
You've moved on. Cesar Hernandez, having a nice year. He's a guy that gets overlooked time and time again. 6 home runs, 8 stolen bases, .386 on base percentage. Kind of don't understand what the rush was for the Phillies getting Kingery up here, but Cesar Hernandez, fine second baseman, fine fantasy player.
Tried to trade for him. I was in my in one of the leagues I play, and I was a Robinson Cano owner, and I didn't have a backup second baseman on my roster, so I tried to trade for Hernandez, and I'm still trying to trade. We're close on a deal because the person who has Hernandez has two of the second basemen. He has Mancada and somebody else who can play second. So it's an extra piece for him. So, but the problem is, in this the league I'm talking about, it's a points league, and it's heavy on pitching. And so it's so hard to give up a starting pitcher, and I can't – right now I haven't been able to talk them into grabbing one of my scrub starting pitchers, someone like Aaron Sanchez or Drew Pomeranz. They want Eduardo Rodriguez, who, granted, probably isn't that much better than one of the scrub guys, but something I'd like to hold on to. Wins are big here, a lot of points. I said points league. So, well, we're stuck on E-Rod for Cesar Hernandez. The second baseman I have in place for them is Starlin Castro. In my mind, it's not that big a downgrade from Hernandez for me to give up a starting pitcher. So, I don't know. Right now, I'm having trouble dealing with him, but I like Hernandez. That's the bottom line. I like Hernandez. I don't think Philly's dealing him. Some people thought they were, including me at the beginning of the season. I thought they might deal Hernandez because they had so many of these extra pieces. Kingery, Crawford, Franco. Can't play them all. But the longer I think about it now, the more I think Hernandez stays.
I'm high on Kingery and not so high on J.P. Crawford, in my opinion. Just basically, when you look at what his minor league numbers are, they're kind of, you know, meh, right? And you can't, if we're going to talk about the Phillies, I mean, you have to bring up Odubel Herrera, who's just been on fire. You know, about a month ago, I spoke about him on air, and he just keeps on hitting. 44 straight games getting on base. 358 batting average, 6 home runs. The stolen bases are only 2, which is a little bit surprising. I mean, he's almost doubled his walk rate since last season, dropped his K rate by about 7%. I mean, a couple of years ago, I thought of him as eventual 2020 guy. But, you know, he's got a below average fly ball rate and a below average hard hit rate. Maybe the 20 home runs might be a little bit too ambitious. But 6 at this stage of the season, like I said, we're about a quarter in. I mean, really just coming into his own. We're waiting for this for a while.
Yeah, we have. And he's taken off this year. Baseball is a hard sport to play. People expect these guys to come up and be all-stars from day one. You know, some guys, it does take a couple of years to figure it out. And I'm not saying he's now the greatest player on the planet, but it looks like he does look like a guy who's figured it out now. He's got, 6 bombs, 27 ribbies. Not big on stolen bases anymore. Used to be. Right? A couple of years ago, he was stealing bases. Now it doesn't seem to do it as much. .358 average. I mean, there's regression coming. You know, the average is not going to stay there, but I think it'll still be an average that helps you. by the end of the season. I think the power is going to come up a little bit as well. I think he's going to end up guy hitting about 20, 22 home runs. And I'm hoping, hoping he can maybe reach that double-digit stolen bases. That's really, once again, another player I'd like to see steal a little bit more than he actually has.
What are we thinking about Rhys Hoskins? What do you think about him this year? 257 batting average, which is right around where he was last season. 398 on base percentage, five home runs. Fly ball percentage is a little over 50%, 50.5%. I mean, I think based on that, I mean, the home run should come. I mean, hard hit rate now off a little by about 10% from this year to last. Is he someone that maybe you would approach to in a trade? I mean, he's probably not a classic buy low. He's still probably looked upon as a top guy. But what are we thinking about Rhys Hoskins?
I have no problem going to anyone and seeing if they're willing to trade Hoskins for a little less, you know, 80 cents on the dollar here. He struggled, you know, last seven games, bat 174, not much better over the last 14 games. So he struggled in the month of May. You know, I don't think this is unusual. A young player has to make adjustments. Just because he had one good full year doesn't mean he was going to translate. Yes, if Joe Galina owns him, I'll go to Joe. Hey, Joe, are you interested in moving Hoskins? You know, just test the waters. Joe says, no, I want Mookie Betts for him. Well, then you know the answer is no. You know, and you move on. But maybe he says, you know, what do you got there? You know, maybe we can work out. And then, you know, maybe there's some wiggle room there. You test the water, see what's going on here with different people. It's the best way to do it. Like I said, when I was looking to trade for a second baseman, I contacted multiple people. One never got back to me. I know that's a no. Another one wanted Nomar Mazara for, you know, a blah second baseman. I'm like, okay, that's no. And then a third guy I may have something with.
We talked about it's hard to trade when you have the reputation of a George Kurtz. But we'll be back with more fantasy baseball when we come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
And we're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, JP producing our show. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. So, George, who are you looking at, if any? I mean, because you play in competitive leagues. You play in 15-teamers, I'm sure. Anybody that you're looking at in terms of waiver wires this week? I mean, one guy that I saw went off last week, which I was, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Do you think that we see him at some point this season? Third base prospect for the Blue Jays. I mean, does it depend on the Blue Jays deciding to move on Donaldson? Or, I mean, do you think that they're just going to... I mean, the guy's 19. He's on his way to 20. I mean, so young, but so talented.
Well, that's the thing. He's 19. You're not competitive this year. Do you really want to bring him up? He's not a very good third baseman, by the way. You know, that's really his big... He can hit. He can hit now. I have no doubt he can hit now in the major leagues. It's the defense. So, you know, can't really – you could DH him, but what are you going to do with Morales? Are you giving up on Morales? You know, this is regardless of what Donaldson gets traded or not. I think
I would have bring him up to DH him, no.
The problem is this. All right, Donaldson's going to get moved, but I think he's another guy who's a July 31st move because third base is saturated with the players out there to be traded for. Machado can play third base. Donaldson, Moustakas on Kansas City is going to get moved, which means these teams, these are all good to great players, but the teams that have them aren't going to get great returns for them, which means they're going to hold them forever until they get the best possible return they can. They'll keep thinking, oh, maybe there'll be an injury on July 30th and the price will go higher. You know, that's the way it's going to go right now. Plus, Donaldson, you know, not having the greatest of seasons, has the shoulder injury. So he has his issues. I just don't know if Toronto feel it's worth to bring up somebody, start that clock on someone who, you know, it's a way, he's 19, not a very good defensive third baseman, and we're not competing. You know, should we really do this? So I'd be very cautious here, you know. And listen, in 15-team leagues, and I've done this, and as you said, I play in them. There's no one on the waiver wire. You know, you're going week to week just praying. I have injuries I really can't replace. There's no one out there that even remotely. So why not Clayton Guerrero or Fernando Tatis or someone like that, a top prospect, and hope that they were all wrong and they do get called up. I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all until, you know, someone better comes along. You know, I know I've claimed the guys like that, and one, like Michael Kopech of the White Sox, I've claimed. But as soon as someone on the waiver wire comes on that I like more, well, then away goes Kopech. I'll keep for a week or two, see what happens. Maybe he gets called up. Maybe I catch a break. But to answer your question, Joe, no, I think if he does get called up, you're talking post-All-Star break, so you're talking August. You know, you're talking after the deadline here. I think that'd be the earliest he gets called up. Everything I'm hearing right now is, like I said, the bat is ready to play now. The glove is not.
I guess you agree with me. I mean, there just isn't much out there. You know, on the waiver wire, I think part of it as well is just the fact with the amount of injuries that people are dealing with as well. I mean, you know, I'm looking at guys like, Nico Goodrum from the Tigers. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with him. I mean, basically, he's played some outfield, some third base, some shortstop, some second base. I mean, had some speed earlier in his career than last season, started to show a little power, but overall, the minor league numbers are average at best. Maybe, you know, especially his batting average. So I don't know. Maybe a Mark Reynolds is somebody that you might look at. You know, but how many at bats does he get? Is he going to be splitting time with a Matt Adams? I don't know. Anybody that you could recommend, just in general?
Well, you mentioned the problem. All right, the 10-day DL, I imagine how it affects pitchers because you can put them on the DL and you're only going to miss one start. Well, it affects batters too, because it's just easier. Okay, we're going to sit him down. And there does seem to be a lot of guys on the DL. I mean, I laugh when I look at the DL list on my fantasy teams. You know, it's become a league of, hey, if you get lucky and you're not getting crushed, you're going to do well. One of my home leagues, I already have one guy, not me, but one guy who has 11 guys on the DL. You know, no shock, he's at the bottom of the standings. In that league, it's one of the few leagues I haven't been crushed. You know, outside of the Cano, which ended up being a suspension, I haven't been crushed in that league. I'm in first. You know, I don't think that's a shock. You stay healthy, you're going to compete. Now, I am of the belief, and I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but I am of the belief that DL spots should be unlimited. You know, I know some people, and this is where the argument comes in, well, if you have it unlimited, you got, you know, and one guy has eight guys on a DL, it weakens the waiver wire. The problem is this. All right, listen, I can't argue with that. That is true. The waiver wire is weakened before all the DL moves. But let's say, you know, I'm in a league, you have limited DL. Let's say you have three DL spots. And you have five guys on the DL or six guys on a DL. You know, now I may have to release somebody if I'm one of those teams. I have to release a player because I can't field the full lineup because my DL is full. Joe Galina, he's one of the lucky teams. He has nobody on the DL. Joe's able to now claim that player who's a better player than what he has. So I got screwed twice. Not only did I have to release said, actually I got screwed three times. Had to put a good player on a DL, had to release another player, and then one of my competitors was able to pick up that player. How's that fair? Mm-hmm. I don't want DL players determining leagues. That's why I think it should be unlimited. I'm already getting screwed, boys and girls. All right? I don't want to put the player on with DL in the first place. I do think rules should be in place that if not immediately, then by the next lineup change period, whether it's daily or if it's weekly. If it's daily, then it's the next day. If it's weekly, then it's that Monday. That the player that's on with DL needs to be taken off, and then someone else needs to be released. You know, I think that's true. You shouldn't be able to stash anybody on a DL who's not actually on the DL. And you shouldn't be able to place anybody on a DL who doesn't have that red DL next to their name or a flag, whatever the hell else these sites do. You know, but I just don't like the fact that I don't want to get screwed three times. And like I said, I wouldn't want you to get screwed. I wouldn't think it's fair for you that I just pick up the player you had to release because you couldn't field the full lineup and you got screwed three times and it benefited me. You know, I don't want injuries to determine leagues. So there's enough luck involved as it is. Why make it even luckier? That big Joe Galina benefits because, hey, nobody on his team's hurt. Now, maybe Joe drafted that way. You know, maybe that's the way it was. You didn't take any injury risk to players, which also plays into a draft time. I take injury risk players even less now in baseball because it's 10-day DL. But I when it comes to fantasy, I like to take as much luck out of the game as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've become more conservative. Any hint of a guy that might have an injury history or something on the line, I'm not going to draft him, and I'm certainly not going to trade for them as well. So, but let's continue just finishing off looking at some of the trends that we're looking at. And I mean, I'm looking at your hot and cold, five up, five down. Brandon Belt, this guy just seems never to go away. Right,
interesting way to describe him. He's having a good year. We've seen mm-hmm. this before in spurts. This could just be a one massive hot streak here. He's a sell high guy for me, you know, because I don't mm-hmm. think this is remaining. He's already got 10 home runs. All right, mm-hmm. I could see the average coming down a little bit, not massively. So, but 10 home runs. He's never had higher than 18. He's had 18 twice in his career. Last year and the year before, 2 years before that. I mean, right now he's on pace for what, 35? I don't think I can see that. I don't think that's sustainable at all. If you have if you have somebody who believes, I'm trading him in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. You could always, even on the worst teams, we've talked about this before. You could always find some fantasy. I don't know if you call it gold or just value, we'll say. But you wrote about Mark Trumbo this week.
I did write about Trumbo. I thought there was more coming there. All right, there was more coming for Trumbo. I like Trumbo.
Sorry, it's all right. It's all right.
What I like about him is this. If you look at his game stats before, because I wrote about it on, I think I wrote that column on Wednesday. So if you look at his game stats, he was getting hits. He was hitting the ball. He was squaring it up. The power hadn't come yet. You know, mm-hmm. I think he only has one home run. But, you know, he was hitting the ball. So I think it's coming. You know, I've got outfield eligibility in most leagues, maybe not all, which is what I like because, mm-hmm. once again, outfielders are so valuable. We start, once again, you do the math here, 15-team league or even 12-team league. You know, 5 times mm-hmm. 12, that's 60 at start. You got to put someone in your DH, someone in the reserve. There's 75 outfielders gone. There aren't many left, plus all the ones that don't have a DL now. So you need it. We all need outfielders. Trumbo, mm-hmm. I think the power is coming. I don't think he's going to hit 40 home runs. Or be on a pace they had 40 if he didn't miss the first couple weeks of the season. But I think, once again, from this point forward, I think he could hit 20, 22, which I'll take, by the way, in a heartbeat. I think the average is probably not going to help you. We're not going to hurt you either. It's Camden, so it's a band box. The offense is good. I like Trumbo. I definitely think he was a pickup. He was a guy who was out there in a few leagues.
Mm-hmm. What about you wrote about Michael Brantley? Now he's a guy that's been dealing with injuries throughout his career, but just has so much talent. Do you think that this is finally the year that he could put those injuries behind him going forward? I mean, you talked about maybe a 20 homer, 15 stolen base season.
Yeah, he's a guy I'd hate to trade for. Because if anything happens, it's my fault. And what I mean by that, if the injury happens, it's my fault. I know it. You know, but maybe you have to. Maybe you need the stolen bases. So, Brantley, you said it. Brantley's always had the talent. Is just, you know, staying on the field and not getting hurt. I mean, it seems like that Lindor and Ramirez are carrying that offense. Every night you look up there, they're doing some damage here. So, I like the talent. I like players who can do it all, who are not one category guys, and he can hit all the categories. But what did you just say? You know, you try and stay away from these guys. So do I.
Yeah,
I don't have Brantley in any league. You know, but I just had to acknowledge how well he's playing. He's a guy. If I had to choose between selling him or buying him, I'd probably rather sell. Yeah, I think I'd rather play it safe than think the injury, you know, he might get hurt again, or might slow down. So I'd probably play the odds there, play the numbers game, and move him. But he is a player who, if he stays healthy, you know, he can definitely help your fantasy team.
He's not on your list of hot and cold players or five up or five down, but I'm sure you follow his career very closely as a Yankees fan. What about D.D. Gregorius? I mean, he was never as good as he was early in the season. I mean, he wasn't going to keep up that pace, right? And obviously, he's not as bad as he's showing right now. But I mean, to see him batting .248 at this stage of the game, hasn't had a home run in a while, hit those 10 home runs early in the season. I mean, are you buying or selling D.D. Gregorius?
Ooh, that's tough. He's in a massive slump right now. I think he's one for his last 48 or something silly like that. It's gross. Yeah, it's really bad. I'm surprised Boone hasn't dropped him in the lineup a little bit.
248 batting average, 10 home runs, 31 runs batted in.
Yeah, he's in the midst of a massive slump. He's batting 0-32 in his last seven games. All right, 107 in his last 14. All right, it just the numbers are ugly. Yeah, they're just ugly. It's bottom line is this. All right, depends who my shortstop is. I think he'll get better. All right, he wasn't as good as he was in April. He's not as bad as he has been in May. So he will get better. But, you know, he has to break out of this right now. He's hit to some bad luck. His hard hit percentage hasn't been terrible during the streak. He's still putting the ball in play. He's not striking out in an inordinate amount of times. You know, he's only struck out 10 times in the 14 games that he's batting 107. So it's not like he just can't hit the ball. He's hitting into some bad luck. So it would depend on who my shortstop is. But if someone has given up, I'd buy.
There you go. I agree with you. Anthony Rizzo, man. We talked about Goldschmidt slumping. Rizzo is having his issues too, batting 202 coming into today's action. 6 home runs, 25 runs batted in.
I mentioned I lost a second baseman, Cano. I tried to get Rizzo because he has second base eligibility, as silly as that sounds. I did try and get him because the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, maybe I can buy low on the guy. Not doing well. Mm-hmm. I tried. Did not succeed. You know, did not succeed. He wanted way too much. Couldn't get through there. I think you need to be very careful with the Chicago Cubs. You and I talked earlier in the show how the Yankees have played in bad weather. Cubs have played much worse. I mean, it's been awful. A lot of these games in anywhere near Chicago, anywhere near Wrigley. So I said I'd be careful there about selling Rizzo, about giving up on Rizzo. I think the guy who I was trying to trade with did the right thing. Don't sell low. It'll come. Maybe he only bats 250 overall in the season. That sounds terrible, but you know what? That means he raised it quite a bit from 202. You really don't care what he did the first 6-7 weeks of the season. You only care about this point forward. And I think he'll be fine. You know, I don't think he's going to hurt your team anymore. He's starting to come around now. The power, I'd like to see it a little bit more, but I'm buying on Rizzo. I think he'll be fine.
Last guy I think that we'll have time for, but Marcell Ozuna, 49.2 hard hit rate, the highest of his career. Only has 3 home runs, 21 runs batted in, batting 240 coming into today's action. Coming off of a career year, 312 batting average, 37 home runs, 124 RBI. What are we thinking about him? Do we think that maybe, is that the best that he'll ever be, but he's still a fantasy viable guy? Maybe could the trade have, playing at St. Louis, man, not easy. I mean, it's very knowledgeable fan base.
Yes, and you wonder if he's feeling the pressure. He went from Miami, let's face it, an also-ran team, to St. Louis, a team that expects to compete, you know, for a fan base that knows the game. You know, so I think there is some pressure there, yes. I think it could take him a while to be comfortable. You know, as much as I don't draft injury guys, Joe, I generally don't draft traded guys either. Because I always wondered that first year is an adjustment period. Because I just don't like it. Especially, this doesn't apply to Ozuna, but especially guys who get traded to the other league. Yeah, because I just wonder if they just don't know the pitchers as well, you know, the restaurants to eat at, where to stay, all that sort of stuff that comes with, you know, the personal stuff. So I don't have Ozuna in any league for this reason. I'm just very careful about trading for players who have been moved.
Yeah. We do have more time. How about Ian Desmond coming into today's action?
Dropped him.
With a one.
Got rid of him. Done. And, of course, he hits a home run last night, the bastard. I mean,
you should have told me that you were dropping him. I would have traded for him.
I think I said it last week on the show. He was in Colorado all last week. He had 7 games at home, didn't do anything, and I told myself, if he doesn't do anything, I'm gone. I'm moving on. I dropped him for Trumbo.
Jurickson Profar. He's a guy that people just love, right? I mean, people think that he's going to be getting some at-bats, I mean, a lot of fab love on this guy, but can we finally put him to bed at this stage? I mean, 232 batting average, 2 home runs, 18 runs better than. I mean, are you a Profar kind of guy?
Oh, a talent's there. You know, he does have talent, but playing time's going to be an issue. Yeah, Rougned Odor is back now. Elvis Andrus will be back eventually, so there goes the playing time. You know, and then he goes back to that, you know, reserve role, utility guy, whatever it is. So I said, I do like the talent, but I just don't think the opportunity is going to be there. He's only 25 years old, But I think he's a guy who needs to be moved so he can play every day for somebody.
Made his big league debut when he was 19. So you're right. It just seems like he's been around forever.
He has been.
Yeah, I guess the talent's there. But, I mean, 230 lifetime batting average. I don't know. And you mentioned Odor's back, which is good for me. But I wonder if he's, I mean, always been a power guy, but just hasn't been able to bat 172. Man. But that's all we have time for. George, been great talking to you. JP, thanks for doing a great job producing our show. We'll be back more next week. Weekend Fantasy Update.